You're listening to Coyote Radio, broadcasting from the campus of Cal State San Bernardino. Coyote Radio, howling worldwide.
Welcome to the Evergreen Show, where we explore creative and effective strategies for keeping our planet Earth healthy and beautiful. Every day and everywhere, actions people take in our community have far-reaching impacts. The good news is that you and your family can be active citizens in support of planet Earth. How can you accomplish this? Here are your hosts, Dr. Darlene Stoner and Laura Terrell.
Thank you for joining us for the Evergreen Show. I'm Darlene.
And I'm Laura. Our episode today continues our quest to understand more about an endangered animal which lives on Channel Islands in Southern California. Our endangered animal is the island fox, which lives on several Channel Islands, including the famous Catalina Island.
We've titled our episode, If an Island Fox Could Talk, Chapter 2. In a previous program, we just scratched the surface of the important environmental insights that the island fox has to offer. We're also delighted that Carrie Dearborn is our guest today on the Evergreen Show to continue our discussion. Carrie is the Vice President of Education for Friends of the Island Fox. This nonprofit organization works to educate the public about the endangered island fox. It also supports conservation efforts on the Channel Islands to save the island fox, whose population numbers have fallen drastically from its original numbers on the islands just a few years ago.
Thank you, Darlene and Laura. I'm happy to be back with you and talking about one of my favorite topics, the island fox.
Carrie, can you remind us what the island fox looks like?
Well, the island fox is a cute little animal. It is small, one of the smallest fox species, and about the same size as a kit fox. They're about 3 to 7 pounds on average, only about 12 inches tall, so that they're actually smaller than most people's house cats. And their appearance, physically, they're kind of gray in color, with a little bit of white under their muzzle and along the belly, and also they have some rufous or some reddish color along the muzzle and along their sides.
And historically, what did the island fox eat?
Well, island foxes are omnivores, so they do eat some animal prey, so deer, mice out on the islands, and small birds, but the majority of their diet is actually insects and fruit from native plants.
And what historically was the island fox's predator?
Well, historically, they didn't have a predator at all. Even though they're so small, only about a foot tall, they're the largest land mammal that is native to the Channel Islands.
And is the island fox on all of the Channel Islands?
No, it is only on the 6 of the largest islands. There are 8 islands total, but 2 of the islands, Anacapa and Santa Barbara Island, are just too small for even this small fox to be able to make a living out there. And there's no fresh water on those 2 islands either.
So how has the island fox adapted for its island habitats?
Well, it is far more omnivorous than its ancestor, the gray fox, that's on the mainland. It pairs for life, so that mates stay together for life, and they're protecting a territory because finding resources is very difficult. So territory establishment is very important. And because they had no predators, they hunted during the middle of the day, which is unusual for most foxes.
What kind of population change has the island fox experienced in the Channel Islands?
Well, it's been rather dramatic. The Catalina Island fox had a number, they numbered about 1,300 in 1996. But between 1998 and 2000, there was an 88% drop in the population where they went down to just 103 individuals. And on the northern islands, the foxes up there had been doing very well prior to the mid-1990s. But then all of a sudden, we saw a huge plummet so that Santa Rosa, which had the largest population of foxes, about 1,800 foxes, dropped to just 15 individual animals. San Miguel also dropped to just 15. And Santa Cruz dropped from about 1,500 foxes to just 62 individuals.
That's just an amazing drop in population. The island fox appears to be a prime example of an endangered animal that might become extinct because of its very present limited population. We know that scientists have studied animals that are endangered or who have become extinct, and they've found that they often share one or more lifestyle characteristics. And it's important to know which of these characteristics are associated with each particular type of endangered animal, and that way professionals can use that knowledge to help design a survival plan. So I've made a summary of these characteristics, and we'll take a look at these and see how they apply to the island fox. And we have five characteristics we're going to take a look at here. Now, the first characteristic is that the animals interfere in some way with people's activities or interests. An example would be animals that kill livestock, eat or ruin crops, or feed on animals that people also like to eat. And these animals are often shot, poisoned, or harmed in other ways. Examples would be wolves or coyotes. Now, is the island fox decline related to the characteristic of interfering in some way with people's activities or interests?
No, not at all. Now, occasionally they are hit by cars, but those are accidents. And island foxes don't pose a threat to people or people's activities in any way.
Okay.
So the second reason that animals often become threatened or extinct is that they migrate and depend on different habitat areas. An example of this would be songbirds in northern America that migrate south to tropical forests in the winter. And when thousands of acres of rainforest habitat are destroyed, the habitat which the songbirds require have been changed into pastures and farms and towns. So is the island fox's decline related to the characteristic of migration?
No, because the island foxes are only found on those specific islands and nowhere else. They are confined there. They don't move around at all.
Okay, so then a third reason would be that the animals are very sensitive to changes of their environment. This could be because of chemical changes in their environment, such as the introduction of pesticides. Or it could be because they have a hard time competing with introduced species that have the same nesting or food requirements. For example, bluebirds in North America have a hard time competing for nesting site with starlings, which were introduced from Europe in the 1900s. Does the characteristic being sensitive to changes in their environment relate to the decline in island foxes?
It absolutely does, both directly and indirectly. Because when Western people first arrived on the islands, and one of the things that happened in the 1880s was the islands were made into ranches because they were a confined space, so farm animals couldn't get off the islands. So we had a large number of introduced large domestic animals. And as you can imagine, sheep and pigs and goats, horses, even animals that were later then used for hunting, like deer and elk, are all large herbivores. So they started to really impact the plants, even the plants that the fox depended on for food. So that was kind of direct, but then we have a very indirect effect on the island fox through DDT. And you wouldn't think that that could affect a fox that's out on the island, but DDT that was used on crops on the mainland was introduced then into the watershed, which found its way into the ocean and affected the food chain out in the oceans around the islands and the fish. And the island foxes have a really important neighbor on their islands, and that was the bald eagle. And the bald eagle was severely impacted by DDT in the environment, causing the bald eagles on the northern islands to actually go extinct. And the bald eagle was an important element for the fox because here was this large bird that did not eat foxes. It ate only the seafood, the fish, and some seabirds. Didn't impact the fox, but it did help the fox by keeping other large predatory birds away. So when the eagle went extinct, the bald eagle, there was this niche for a large bird of prey out there, especially since there were so many farm animals, and the pigs had gone wild on Santa Cruz, so they were feral. So we had over 5,000 feral pigs out on that island, which attracted a large bird of prey that ate mammals, and that was the golden eagle. So the golden eagle came out to the island because of the pigs that were out there. They started to nest out there, and then they started to actually prey on the foxes because the island fox was out in the middle of the day. So a very indirect way, DDT impacted the environment out there for the fox and brought in this introduced predator in the golden eagle.
That's amazing. Next characteristic, Laura's going to do.
So the fourth reason that animals may decline is that they have a small number of offspring and maybe a long gestation time, which is also known as a pregnancy time. An example of this would be an animal that gives birth to only one or two young every year or two, and this would fit for animals like elephants or condors. So when the population of these animals drop, it takes much more time for their populations to recover because of such a low birth rate. Also, animals with low birth rates don't reproduce fast enough to produce offspring to adapt to changing conditions in their environment. For example, an elephant may have about 3 young every 10 years, while a cockroach has 80 young in 6 months. So does the characteristic of having a low birth rate relate to the decline in island foxes?
No, it doesn't. And actually, because they actually reproduce fairly quickly, this has been very important for the success of their recovery, because they can breed before the age of 1 if the situation arises, and with increased resources, unlike the elephant you were mentioning, if they have increased resources, they can actually have larger litters of pups. So while they typically have 2 to 3 pups, what we've been seeing with a low population, so that there is a lot of resources out there on the island, in a good year they can have as many as 5 pups. So that has been a very important part of their recovery.
Okay, now a fifth reason that animals are threatened or become extinct is because they are naturally rare. These animals have a very low population throughout the area which they live, or have a very limited range in which they live. The animals are very vulnerable to habitat destruction. Is the island fox's decline related to the characteristic of being naturally rare?
It absolutely is, because each one of the islands has its own subspecies, and none of the subspecies naturally is larger in a they don't have a population larger than around 1,500 to 1,800 at the most. That's the most we've ever seen. So each one of the islands is separate, and they are therefore specifically rare to each one of those islands and no place else in the world.
That is really amazing. So we've got a couple characteristics here that really fit in terms of being in a limited area, habitat destruction, and also being sensitive to changes in the environment, introduction of pesticides, which then led to other problems in terms of the being preyed upon as prime reasons, it looks like. We're going to talk some more about these reasons after the break. We're talking with Carrie Dearborn, Vice President for Friends of the Island Fox, a nonprofit established to provide education and conservation for the island fox on the Chalon Islands in Southern California. We'll have more questions for Carrie after the break. You're listening to The Evergreen Show with Laura Terrell and Darlene Stoner. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.